of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And St. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus today talks about the heart. Jesus comes to drown and kill our old sinful heart called the old Adam and give new birth and give you a new heart, new man in Christ. Jesus comes to do spiritual heart surgery on us to replace the old corrupt heart and implant a new righteous heart in Jesus Christ in us. Here is what Jesus is teaching us about witness, mercy, and life together, which for the month of September we will look at in Bible class. It is the motto of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And during the month of September, the education month, with this banner here, the posters in the narthex, we even have pins with this theme on it. We consider how we here in our church and school and campus ministry, now that everything has begun in September, bear witness to Jesus, show mercy to our neighbor, and live in love with one another. And today, we do that in this context. Jesus' work is to change the heart of man so that we can bear witness and be merciful and live together in love. So today we're going to talk about these three things from the lessons this morning. First of all, from the sinner's heart comes only evil. We call that the old Adam. Secondly, Jesus cleanses the inner heart because he is pure of heart. This is, if you will, justification and sanctification, cleansing us. And thirdly, from the sinner's heart comes good, the new man, saint in Christ. So let's begin. Jesus tells us, from the sinner's heart comes only evil. Other places in the New Testament, that's called the old Adam. This is the context. Jesus calls the people to him, and when he says things like this, "Hear me, all of you, understand," we're supposed to stop what we're doing and listen. He says, "You are not defiled by those things outside of you that come into you." Yes, the world is a corrupt place. It's not those things that corrupt you or food that you eat. No, understand this. It's not about food. It's what comes from your heart that defiles you. Now, what is he talking about? He is referring to what we call original sin, the old Adam, that we are born and conceived in our mother's womb as sinners. This is directly the opposite of what the unbelieving world says, which says, "I believe all people are basically good." No. The Bible teaches that since Adam and Eve's rebellion in the Garden of Eden, every person who has ever been born has received from our original parents a sinful heart, which means our heart is turned in on ourselves. We want our way, and we're in rebellion against God. And in fact, the old Adam hates God, doesn't want to listen to God. We are conceived morally evil, not neutral in the womb. Even a small baby, a child, wants its way, his or her way. This old Adam, the sinful heart, The world laughs at this because the world thinks you're just shaped by the environment. Everyone is born basically good. That's kind of what the period of rationalism taught. Man is the measure of all things. We can determine our destiny. We are all basically good. Directly opposite and opposed to that, God says, that is not true. All people are conceived in sin. That's what we call it, the original sin. Now, once you understand that, then you will understand why we commit actual sins of thought, word, and deed. Imagine a beautiful spring up in the mountains that has been poisoned. So the spring is poisoned, and as it bubbles forth, anybody who drinks that water will be poisoned. The problem is the original spring is bad. Therefore, when Jesus talks about the breaking of the first and second table of the law and goes through some of the Ten Commandments, he's saying these are the things that defile a person, the things that come from their heart, and he lists them. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, foolishness. These evil things that come from within, these are the things that defile us. If you're honest with yourself, you will realize that that's true for you and it's true for me. The selfish, sinful heart describes every single one of us. This is why we need Jesus. Jesus comes to kill the old Adam to bring forth the new man. If you understand what Jesus is saying, you will understand what the work of the church is. If a person doesn't understand this, they will turn the church into a social agency who tries to help you have your best life now, gives you some rules to live by so you can have a good life. If we do that, then we're no different than any kind of social organization. But that's not what the church is all about. The church proclaims to you, you don't come here to get your act together. You don't come here to get reformed. You come here to die so that you may live. The old Adam dies so the new man can come forth. There was a London businessman named Lindsay Clagg who had a warehouse he was going to sell. But vandals had broken in, damaged the doors, smashed the windows, and strewn trash all over the inside. So a prospective buyer came to look at the warehouse, and he explained at great length, I'm going to fix all the windows, we'll clean all the trash up, fix the structure. And the buyer said, forget about the repairs. When I buy this place, I'm tearing this building down and building another one. I don't want this building. I want the sight. That, my friends, is what God does to us. He tears down the building of our old Adam and sinful nature and says in Christ, who is pure of heart, who cleanses us with his righteousness and forgiveness, I'm going to take the sight of your life and build you into the temple of God, a building holy before God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I don't want the building. I want the sight. And you and I are the sight. If the sinner's heart brings forth only evil, the second thing we must consider is, how does Jesus cleanse our inner hearts? Now we look at Deuteronomy and Ephesians. Moses said, the Lord your God of your fathers, gave you the statutes, the teachings, the words, and the commandments of God. What a great nation Israel was. From Israel would come the Messiah. They were chosen of all people in the world to receive the Ten Commandments, the covenant of God's grace from the Lord God of Israel, the Lord God who said, you can call upon me at any time and I will hear you. He set apart his people from which would come the tabernacle and the temple and from whom would come our Lord Jesus Christ. And today the Christian church is the new Israel, the new people of God. Christ's body is the temple of the church. And he keeps us diligently in his word And as God said, teach these things diligently to your children and to your grandchildren. That's why we want you in Bible class and your children in Sunday school, so you can diligently teach the Word of God to your children. Jesus Christ, who came from the people of Israel, from the Lord God of hosts, is the one who cleanses the church, makes us strong in the Lord, strengthens us by His might, and in Him we have the whole armor of God and can stand against the schemes of the devil. And this is how Jesus cleanses us. Since Jesus is the Son of God, when He was conceived in the Virgin Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, He was conceived and born with a clean heart. Though He experienced temptations, He never sinned. He took the sins of our heart upon Himself. He kept the law we could not keep perfectly in our place. And when He hung on the cross and paid the price for our sin, He suffered the punishment of hell in our place. And because He is risen from the dead, He says, I create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you in my righteousness, which by faith is credited to your account. Our filthy, stained hearts must be cleansed by Jesus. And that's what He does. He does that for you when you're baptized to wash away your sin. He did that for you as you heard absolution today, where the pastor spoke the words of Jesus, I forgive you your sins. And each time we come here to receive Holy Communion, Christ's body and blood for the remission of our sins. It's why you come to church, for Jesus to cleanse your heart and to give you a new heart. You know, once you know this, you see it all over the New Testament, especially in Romans and Galatians and Corinthians. In Romans, don't you know, all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Our old self was crucified that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. And then Paul says in Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. And again in Romans, if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. If we've died with Christ, we will also live with Christ. So Jesus, who has a pure heart, gives us, if you will, a heart transplant, creating faith in our heart through the work of the Holy Spirit, that you believe that what was done in the cross was done for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, so every day you can begin anew, you can be a new person in Christ, each day covered in the righteousness of Christ. We need this cleansing. Because you know, in Paul's words in Ephesians 6, he says, you know, you need to realize when you're living your life out, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, the powers of the cosmic evil forces of darkness in the heavenly places. The satanic realm is trying to destroy the Christian church. That is why we have to have the armor of God, like a Roman centurion who's dressed for battle. You have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shod on your feet with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which, by the way, is the only offensive weapon we have to fight back, is the Word of God. You memorize the Word of God. You hear the Word of God. It becomes a part of you, and you have the sword of the Spirit to fight back. So if Jesus is the one with a clean heart who cleanses our heart, thirdly, how do we live as saints who have hearts from which come good as the new man? This comes to you every week in word and sacrament. You are a new man every day. In my baptism, my identity is who I am in Christ. The righteousness of Christ covers me, and I am saint in Him. When the word is preached, when you're taught the Word of God, when you hear absolution and receive Holy Communion, the new man rejoices and loves God. The Holy Spirit gives you faith. He gives you joy and peace and love and faithfulness and patience. You have a new heart because you cling to Christ alone. And you're filled with joy, for you know what he did for me. He is the proof of God's love. That's why in the final exhortations in Ephesians, he says, okay, pray at all times. Pray for all the saints. Just don't pray for yourself. Pray for everyone and their need. Keep alert. Persevere. Pastors, boldly proclaim the word of God. Every time you open your mouth like Paul did, proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul was an ambassador in chains. We can freely and boldly proclaim God's word to our generation. So in conclusion, it is not what is outside in the world that comes to us that defiles us, but it's what is inside, the inside that exhibits itself in the sins and shows our defilement. Therefore, the Father sent his Son, who lived a holy, pure life in word and deed, who died in our place, was raised from the dead. He is the second Adam. And now connected to Jesus, the second Adam, we are new man through the work of the Holy Spirit, as baptized, absolved, communing saints. We daily put on the armor of God and the strength of the Lord against the schemes of the devil. And we rely on him, not on ourselves, for all things. Bruce Larson, a Christian businessman and preacher, lives out in New York City. And he talks to business people about the claims of Jesus Christ and challenges them to face who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ has done for the world and for each of us. In order to do this with these businessmen who are high-powered and prominent people, he takes them across the street to the RCA building on 5th Street, where there's a gigantic statue of Atlas, a perfectly proportioned man with all his muscles straining. But he's got the whole world on his shoulders. And though he is powerful, he can barely stand underneath that burden. Then he takes them across the street, the other side of 5th Avenue, to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And back behind the altar, there's a shrine, a statue, and a painting of Jesus, who's about 8 or 9 years old. And without any effort, he holds the whole world in his hand. And he challenges the man, do you want to live like Atlas, trying to carry the whole world on your shoulders? Are you going to live in Jesus, who carries all the burdens of the world for you? In God's mercy and grace, that is how we want to live. Take the burdens off of us and give them to Jesus, because our hearts have been cleansed. And we are new man in Christ, as we are about to sing, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. God grant us such a trust in Jesus and the joy to live as saints in his kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, may this be true for you and for me this day. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.